Von Meilen und Zeilen. Abenteuer direkt aufs Ohr. Der Podcast des Delius Glasing Verlags mit Tim Kruse.
Meilen und Zeilen today in English because we've got the amazing, wonderful Jessica Watson with us. Known for her solo circumnavigation of the world in her boat Pink Lady in 2010. Just to remind us all, that's a 210-day alone journey at sea as a 16-year-old. A 23,000 nautical mile journey that sailors sometimes call the Mount Everest of sailing. But Jessica now is a grown-up woman of 29 years, a managing consultant in Melbourne, and in-demand corporate speaker, and not a 16-year-old sailor anymore. How do you get out of that pigeonhole? People always see you as the 16-year-old. Now you're a grown-up woman. How does that work?
Well, I'm not sure I can because, you know, with this movie coming out, it's straight back to remembering me as that 16-year-old in the pink boat.
Yeah. You've seen the movie, I suppose. How was that for you?
Oh, it's so strange. You know, it's pretty wild, right? The first time I saw it was without CGI and without finished sound, and it was really emotional. It was a lot, and I have seen it a number of times since.
Mm-hmm. Is it like, you know, it's Hollywood and it's making a lot of emotions and it's big. Is it like you felt it? Did they do it the way you thought it should be done, or is it over the top or not enough, or is it how close is it to your journey?
Pretty close. There are parts, obviously, where it's slightly fictionalized. For example, I had a whole team of people who were really key supporters and made it possible. But they, for the sake of not being able to introduce so many different characters, they've sort of amalgamated all of these different people into one person who's called Ben in the movie and is kind of this like mentor advisor character who's brilliant. I just love that relationship and that character. So there's things like that and maybe the order of some of the storms and things like that in the movie that are not quite exactly spot on. But I think it has captured something about the essence of solo sailing and the beauty of being at sea and maybe the kind of family dynamic and the like as well. So, yeah, I think it's actually kind of unnerving sometimes when something jumps out at you and it's like, wow, that was true to how it felt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a storm coming up to you now, I guess, with a Netflix movie. I mean, what a dream is that, you know, to be in a Netflix movie. And you're being played by Tegan Croft. How is she to you? Like, how's your relationship?
It's so strange, right? I mean, it's lovely, but it's so strange. And I just love, you know, her enthusiasm for what she's doing and you know, as a young actress, the sort of journey she's going on. And I really, really respect what she does. So it's been pretty cool to sort of see her do a bit of sailing and introduce her to that world. But it is so odd. I think the nice thing is that she's brought something of herself to the character as well. So it's me, but it's also kind of not me. And I love that the director, that Tegan, that every single one of the many, many hundreds of people involved have actually sort of brought something of themselves to this story. So thankfully, not just me.
How did they film it? I mean, you cannot like film in a storm. So they had this huge vessel of like 13,000 water tons or something, and then they filmed inside. Have you seen that thing? And how does it work technically?
Yeah. There was this huge tank that, you know, I think they even dyed the water in it and things like that. Yeah. That a lot of the shots were done in. And then there were all these different kind of fake boats. So they had a real one they used in the movie that was like an exact replica of Alice Pink Lady, the original boat. But then there were all these kind of fake boats, you know, one that where they did the interior shots where it was sort of modular and bits would come out the sides.
Like, there
was
like another one small that went, and stuff?
No, big, real live.
Okay.
This like size, the set building was extraordinary alone. Like the number of different boats involved, and there was one that was on this huge sort of pedestal thing that moved around wildly, and there was one that fully rotated, you know, the interior shots of that. So a lot of kind of set building involved.
Wow, that sounds so crazy. And when you see this movie now and you see the whole story of your life, how different are you now from that 16-year-old?
Very different, right? I'm a 29-year-old now, and that was many years ago, and so much has happened since then. But yeah, I suppose it's kind of scary because some of it's like, oh, that is me. You know, it's that kind of unnerving and almost a little bit like, oh, yeah, right, that's me, and there's still parts of me in that as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I tell people that I'm interviewing you, they say, oh, my God, she's a legend. Like, what she's done is so amazing. And I was a little afraid of this interview because I wasn't sure how much of a superstar you feel yourself, but you seem so normal. And I'm so happy to see you, how nice you are, you know? And how did you manage to stay on the ground, not to like think, oh my God, I'm so awesome?
Oh, that's very generous. And I'm sure you don't really know that from talking to me for a few minutes, but.
Well, I can see it still.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, in the years since, it was a huge whirlwind for a number of years being, you know, Young Australian of the Year and things like that. Although I have to say that was incredibly humbling because I won this award over all of these people who had done really sort of selfless community driven things, and to win it over them was a bit like, wow, should I really be here? But I think it's also been a case of really purposefully going, I want to go back to study and I want a career and I want things that are normal. And I love that. And even sailing for me now is actually, you know, I'm on a sort of a racy style boat that I'm probably got one of the least important jobs on board. And because I'm not a performance sailor, right? I'm not a great racing sailor. And I just love that. I just absolutely love just being, you know, one of the cogs in the wheel and, yeah, having this sort of slightly separate life that still absolutely revolves around sailing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, parallel to the movie, the book is coming out again, and it's coming out in German. So the whole German audience is really waiting for the book, I think. It's called True Spirit, Solo mit Pink Lady mit 16 die Welt umrundet, which sounds very nice, which you probably don't understand. How did that process work? Like, how close did you work with the translator and with the whole publisher? And how was that process?
Yeah, it's really cool. I just love that the Germans seem to love this story and love solo sailing.
Totally.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Yeah, I mean, the book was obviously written, a lot of it during the voyage. So it was very much in the moment, and incredibly, the publisher was almost sort of a sponsor, a key supporter of the trip, and it helped make it possible. So I love that a lot of it is really in the moment. It's not kind of reflections many years on, although obviously there's this sort of a few reflections since then. And then, yeah, the translation process, I mean, it's just trust, right? Mm-hmm. Just entirely trust that the translator kind of captures, you know, I suppose some of the tone and the like, because I've got no idea.
Have you had the German book like in hands? Have you seen it so far?
Yeah. I think I've got one here somewhere. Maybe. I've got a few different versions in a few different languages and I love them. I don't know what am I going to do with them, but it's cool.
Yeah. You, with this trip, you all of a sudden you were like not only a sailor, but you became a writer too, you know, with your blog, which really went kind of viral, we would say nowadays. And then you even wrote a new book, a second book, Indigo Blue. How did that work then? Like, do you see yourself as a writer, or are you like so many things?
Yeah, I love writing, and I suppose I've always loved it before the voyage, and that really, I suppose, opened up the possibilities a little bit in terms of the opportunity to do that. And it was always something I've always been able to write a bit for different magazines and things like that. So I really enjoy it. And Indigo Blue is a story that kind of just felt like it needed to be told. It's this sort of adventure story, the young girl on a boat, believe it or not. And I just kind of wanted to use that as an opportunity to introduce people to sailing as well in a different way. So yeah, it's something I'd love to continue doing. You know, like all things, I'm sure I'm not the world's best writer, but I love it. So, and the stories that feel like they need to be told.
How do you write? Are you a very disciplined person and you write like from in the mornings from 9 to 12 and then from 3 to 6, or how does it work for you?
Not so much these days, because it's sort of, you know, juggled in with a whole bunch of other things, but yes, it's probably not very disciplined because it's around other things, but it's just such a lovely escapism, right? I did start writing again during some of those harsh lockdowns, and it's just the most wonderful way to escape to another world. So yeah, recent years less discipline and more just for fun.
Yeah. When you look back at your trip after the book, now the film, and so many interviews and so many stories you've been telling about this, I'm kind of like, I am an adventurer too. I do many things and I read books. And sometimes when I look back at the old adventures, they seem like they seem unreal and sometimes even like a lie. Can you understand that?
Yeah. Yeah, because there are moments looking back at the voyage and it is a case of, wow, how did that happen?
What the hell did you do
really
that?
Happened? It's wild. Yeah. I collided with a ship, for goodness sake. Like, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think I'm just very grateful, though, that somehow through all of that and through retelling the story so many times, which doesn't even kind of make some of it feel real, that there are parts of it and the memory of just standing on the boat, watching the boat dance along through the waves for hours and hours and hours and never, ever boring of that. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just so grateful that that is still kind of a vivid memory and a happy place I can kind of retreat to.
Mm-hmm. How do you sail now? Like, is sailing just fun or are you ever... Because, you know, most people, like me, once you've done something like a big adventure, the next has to come. I'm never satisfied with an adventure because I have the next idea in the head. And how's that with you?
There was a bit of a sense of that for a while and went on to do a Youth Sydney Hobart campaign. So we were mm-hmm. the youngest ever crew to compete in that iconic Australian sort of race. And that was a big challenge, right? Moving from cruising, kind of adventure sailing to racing. And there have been a number of other sort of things sailing wise, but I think I've increasingly learned that it's something that's a lifetime passion for me and have wanted mm-hmm. to sort of challenge myself in different ways. And that was, you know, going back to study and the like, so that sailing did remain this lifetime passion and hobby and something that I do just, it's my happy place. Mm-hmm. So I sail, you know, on the weekends. I suppose I'm kind of a weekend warrior. you know, it's the Thursday night twilight. I don't know if that's kind of a concept in Germany, but you know, that sort of sailing, yeah, just playing boats. There's just nothing better than, you know, messing about mm-hmm. on boats, whether that's sort of just going out to have a drink on it with mates or fixing things. There's always plenty of that to do. Everything from little trailer sailors to, you know, much bigger, nice. You know, exhilarating race boats. Just mm-hmm. love it all.
In your book, you very often you have this chasing dream attitude. You know, that life is about chasing dreams. And now you're a speaker too. So do you talk about chasing dreams? Like, do you motivate people to say, cut the crap and go into chasing your dreams? Finally, do it? Or like, what do you talk about?
Yeah. Well, I mean, firstly, I think it's a very Australian thing that I love more telling a story than telling people to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's a good Australian kind of cultural
that's
thing.
Great. Yeah.
And I just hope that my story kind of conveys that, because it is so important to kind of audaciously chase your dreams and squeeze everything out of life, you know, that it's got to offer. It's so precious. And, you know, you've got to live it fully. And that may mean taking on these crazy adventures that you don't realize are possible. And you know, you can have a crack at these things if you're mm-hmm. crazy enough to try.
Has Netflix invited you to a premiere, or has anything happened with Netflix? I mean, it's such a big company. It's like the company now. How do they work with you?
Yeah, we did a number of sort of different events. And the one big one was up in Brisbane, which is where I originally come from. And it was actually extraordinary. You know, there was pink carpet. So instead of traditional red carpet, it was pink carpet. And they brought the boat that was used in the movie and had her there sort of behind the pink carpet, which was just awesome. So I was like, what a weird idea. But then actually it was just the most extraordinary setting and just really cool experience to see this kind of come together, all the cast and crew, so many people watching it for the first time, you know, including Dad, who just had a ball for quite a while. and I'm sitting there watching it next to Tegan, which is just this weird experience. So that was, yeah, it's just one of those moments that you just, I'm going to look back on for the rest of my life and go, did that happen? That's wild.
Did you cry when you watched the movie?
I did. Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's been some real big... Yeah, well, everyone I seem to know, but I don't know if that's just because they know me and it's close to the story. But actually, I've been quite surprised by a lot of my sailing friends who I didn't think would get caught up in the emotion of it, but mm-hmm. have been kind of emotional watching it as well.
Mm-hmm. When you came back after your 210 days, which was in Sydney, and there are pictures from the Sydney Opera with the then Prime Minister waiting for you and thousands of people. You were such a hero in those days, and you were only 16. How did you cope with that?
Oh, I mean, maybe it went to my head for a while. I don't know. I hope not. I mean, it was just adrenaline, right? And the novelty of everything. You know, I think anyone who spent a bit of time at sea appreciates that after so long, anything's a novelty. You know, hot bath, food, hugs, you know, going for a walk. That was still to this day. I just
could you
love
walk?
Going for a walk. Yeah, very wobbly. You know, it took quite a while to get my land legs again. Mm-hmm. Everything was such a novelty. And I think that sense of adrenaline and the excitement of it all just kind of carried me through for a number of years. It didn't feel like I came off that high. I suppose I hope that kind of family kept me a little bit sane through that. But again, you know, kind of friends and knowing, you know, knowing that what I did, you know, I'm very, very proud of it, but I'm not the best sailor. And I just suppose for me, it's kind of, I don't know, not ordinary, but, you know, I know how I got there. It was a process of ordinary events. Mm-hmm. So it kind of is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm. What do you expect now with this film coming out? You're putting in the in the public focus worldwide now with Netflix. What do you expect is going to happen with your life now?
I don't know. You know, it's a genuine unknown. And there's a big part of me that's like, I kind of just want to keep turning up to my office for the day job and keep sailing on the weekends. I don't really know what the future holds lately. But I really, really hope that it's a real moment for everyone to kind of go, who doesn't know sailing, to go, hey, sailing, you know, maybe that's something I want to give a go. So I hope it's kind of uplifting and inspiring for people to chase their dreams, whatever they are. But I really personally hope that it's a put sailing on the radar, because I think it doesn't get the sort of attention and, you know, the participation that it really deserves, because it's the most extraordinary sport in that you can also do it in so many different ways. You can take it very, very seriously and do it in a performance sort of orientated way, but it's also this adventure, and there's just nothing better for your head than getting out on the water.
Yeah. Jessica, thank you so much. I totally admire what you did, how you are now. Thank you so much. I hope it's not going to be too much, but on the other hand, it'll be nice. I mean, you'll be in the focus, which is always okay. And I hope you enjoy it as much as you can. And thank you so much for taking the time for us. The German audience loves you, really. Like every German sailor knows you. And I think they're all going to watch the movie. I hope most of them are going to buy the book. And thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's really cool to hear.
Das war von Meilen und Zeilen. Alle zwei Wochen neu, immer freitags. Wenn es euch gefallen hat, abonniert uns, liked uns, empfehlt uns. Oder schreibt uns an podcast@delius-klasing.de. Nur bei uns gibt's echte Abenteuer direkt ins Ohr.